Good day. My name is Leroy Chatfield. I'm the director of the Farm Worker Movement Documentation Project. And today I'm going to interview Gilbert Padilla, who is one of the founding members of the National Farm Workers Association in 1962. And then later, in 1966, when the National Farm Workers Association merged with the Agricultural Workers Organizing Committee and became the United Farm Workers of America, Gilbert Padilla served as vice president for many, many years. So, Gilbert, I'd like to welcome you to the Documentation Project.
Well, thank you, Leroy. I'm happy to be here.
Good. And I would like to take you back to 1962 and ask you to give us some background about the beginnings of the National Farm Workers Association and something about yourself and your involvement. And so let's go back to 1962 and you tell us about it.
Well, in 1962, I was staff of the Community Service Organization. In fact, give you a little background. Caesar became director of the National Farm Workers.
When you say Caesar, you mean Caesar Chavez.
Caesar Chavez became the director of the Community Service Organization in 1959. In 1960, he hired me to do a project in Stockton. And in 1962, at a convention in Calexico, Caesar had made a proposal to the national officers or to the national convention that each chapter should have a farm worker committee and work for farm labor. Because prior to that, every year we had worked for unemployment insurance for farm workers and disability insurance for farm workers and rights for farm workers, and we can never get it out of a... In fact, we never got out of committee in Sacramento. So he said, I'm going to propose this. And he told me when we were in Calexico, and if they don't approve it, I'll resign.
You mean resign from the community service organization?
He was going to resign from the community service organization as director.
Uh-huh.
I remember that very well because it affected me. I was on staff, and I only had 1 year of program in Stockton, and I had only had a couple of months left. And CC was the one that hired me to work on the community service organization. I got scared. I said, what the hell is going to happen to me now, you know? You leave, and me, I'll be on the street. And he said, well, let's see what happens. And I remember sitting there with Helen and him and I, and he said, let's see what happens. And when he got up and left, Helen said to me, he's going to quit.
When you say Helen, you mean Helen Chavez?
Helen Chavez. Helen Chavez, his wife, said to me, he's going to quit. And I said, well, let's see what happens. Well, it was one of the worst conventions. Well, heated convention in Calexico. The delegation was very much against the proposal that Caesar had brought up about the committees and do more for farm labor. Heated. And in the heat of arguments there at the convention, I think it was Anthony Rio who was the president then of the CSO, of the Community Service Organization. And he got up and he started arguing, they started screaming at each other. And of course, I couldn't do anything or say because I was staff, so you remember staff has to stay aside and just be a errand boy there. So he says, I'll resign. And everybody laughed like, oh, he won't resign. He's been with the community organization since 1952, and he's organized all these chapters throughout the state in Arizona. He ain't leaving, he ain't going nowhere. He gets good money and that sort of thing. Well, when the convention was ending, I asked him, what are you going to do? What am I going to do? He says, no, I'm leaving. This is bullshit. I'm leaving. And I says, well, what about me? What's going to happen? What do I do? You know, leave? He says, no. I says, he says, and then I asked him, well, how are you going to do this? How are you going to go organize? What are you going to do? He says, well, we'll organize the workers ourselves. I said, well, how are you going to do it? I don't know. We just go organize them. So I said, well, what do you mean? I said, yeah. Where are you going to get the money? He said, we do it with no money. We do it with no money? No money. We do it on our own. I said, you serious? He said, yeah. He said, you want to come along? Let's go. Let's do it. We can do it. And it was in March of 1962, middle of March. And then he said, I'll just move to Delano. Richard's there. Richard Chavez, my brother. Helen Chavez, his wife, sister, and the brother live there. And he says, if I fail, well, I got family. I'm in Stockton, so I said, well, in that case, I'll let you know next month. Which ended my project in Stockton, so the following month I thought about it, and I called him and says, hey, come in, I'll come in. I'll do it. And he says, I'll tell you what, I'll stay here another month or two, and then I'll move to Hanford where I have a job and I have friends that I can stay with. And then I came. He came to Delano, he moved, and he sent his resignation to the Community Service Organization, President Louis Zarate, effective April the 15th. He started vacation the 1st of April, and at the end of the vacation, he left. Him and Helen went up to the coast, and the kids thought about it, came back, moved to Delano. That's how it got started. What we did at the beginning was did a survey. We got these little 3x5 little cards.
Now, before you start about the survey, where were you living at this time?
I was in Stockton, San Joaquin County.
Okay.
And then I moved from Stockton to Hanford.
And why did you move to Hanford?
I had a job there.
Okay.
I was in the cleaning business, so I always had a job there.
Okay.
I mean, I always, even they had hired somebody, they would get rid of and put me in. So I knew I had a job there, and I had an agreement with the employers there that let me allow me to do community work. So I moved. So before I moved, we did the survey. The first thing we did was a survey. We did that little card, the name and address of all of the person that we were out there talking to.
Survey of whom? Who were you surveying?
We were going to interview farm workers, right?
Okay.
So when I'm in Stockton, I'm out of a job. So I used to pick up my lunch and go over there to the skid row and get on the trucks, go to work in the fields.
Mm-hmm.
And in the fields, I would sign up people. Not really signing them up, just saying, you know, what's your name? Look, we're trying to build a group to help farm workers. We weren't talking about a union. We were talking about a group. And then the questions were very two or three questions. How much do you think you should be making? You think you need a pension? What do you think about? I forgot what else. Just three or four questions. But anyway, it had to do with how much do you think you should be making? And everybody at the time would put $1.50, $1.75, $1.40, and unemployment. That's right. You think you should get unemployment? They all said yes. You think you deserve a pension? They would say yes. And we get those cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come into town in Stockton, the workers where they congregated, I used to go there and get names. And so other people that were helping besides me at that time, David Burciaga Mendota, Julio Hernandez in Corcoran. Let's see who else. There's a couple of guys in Bakersfield in Delano who were doing the same thing, just doing the survey.
They were taking this survey of farm workers, huh?
Yeah. We wanted to know what they thought about, and of course, getting their addresses.
Mm-hmm.
Getting their addresses so they'll know where to go. And that we did that all the month of. After micro, May, June, and July, and August. We did that. Just go around talking to people. Just go around getting surveys. And I came back to Hanford and organized a group, Julio Hernandez, Roger Terrones, Tony Orendain, his wife, and their wives. And we did the Fresno area also. By the time we had a convention in Fresno, what you call the Ranchito Cafe, we had like a little dance hall.
Uh-huh. Now, when you say we had a convention?
Well, with Caesar and I and others that Julio, let me go back a little bit. The first person that helped, like full time, just getting names and talking to workers, was the first one that came, that was paid, was Manuel Chavez. Manuel Chavez just came from Arizona, and he was getting paid. And he came to Corcoran, he was going to go through little towns. Julio was the first volunteer who was almost full-time. I guess he was full-time. And I had the job, but I work the mornings and I work in the afternoons. Gathering members, just names. And we had all these names. Then we had the convention in Fresno. But we had a lot of discussion before we did all these sort of things. My discussion with Caesar a lot was, we're not going to work like I did work on the Community Service Organization. You know, like I went to Stockton, I was a slave to the committee there. We have a board. I did all the work all day. I did all the casework, up and down. And then once a month, the board would come to see what I'm doing, ask me to do more things. And then 9 o'clock comes, they all go home, and I stay. And then they come back until a month later. And mm-hmm. So I don't want to do that. We're going to have that. And we're not going to have a lot of meetings. So we talked about that. The other thing we talked at length, and Caesar was very not uneasy with this, we're going to have to charge them. We have to charge them so that they pay and buy into it. And this was a big discussion between us. The thing was, how do we hook them? You know? And I told them, well, you know, Mexican organizations like Progresista and Beneficios Mutuos, they have a barrel. And they've been organizing in the 20s. And they're still having meetings today. And they still have memberships today. So he looked into all the insurance companies to see who would cover us. And California Casualty Company would cover us if we would get 300 members mm-hmm. paying dues. And we pay them a dollar. And we kept $250. But we decide on $350. $250 for us, a dollar for the insurance. And this is a proposal we came to the convention with.
Now, what would the insurance pay
the insurance,
for?
The insurance was a burial insurance.
A death benefit, huh?
A death benefit. It was like $1,000 for the member, $500 for the spouse, and $500 for all the kids, no matter how many they had.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
This is what we were proposing at the convention.
Now, when you say proposing at the convention, what convention are you talking about?
Well, we had a farm worker convention. We didn't have a name yet.
Oh, you didn't? Okay.
We didn't have a name. We didn't have a. It was nothing. We just had members. We just had workers that come to convention. We're going to talk about an organization.
Okay.
It wasn't like, hey, this is a National Farm Worker Association. No. We tell them, look, we have an organization, and we're going to have a. To protect workers, to protect the farm workers. And we talk about unemployment, we talk about minimum wage, and we talk about all those things.
Mm-hmm. So where was the convention then? Where was the
huh?
convention? Where
Fresno.
Was the
convention? The convention was in Fresno.
Okay.
And it was at a place called the Ranchito. It was a little kind of a restaurant, but they had a large room, like a little dance room.
Mm-hmm.
dance floor. I think from 150 to 200 people. It was quite a few. It was over 100 people.
Over 100 people, huh?
Oh yeah, and we had some supporters that always support CSO. We invited, like, the American Friends Service Committee people were there.
Who?
The American Friends Service Committee, the Quakers.
Oh, okay, all right.
I don't remember if Chris Hartmeyer was there. I don't remember if he was there.
But
most, from the Magad Ministry.
Uh huh.
But I remember the American Friends Service Committees were there because they used to help us lobby.
Okay.
And at so the convention.
Do you remember some of the key farm workers that were present at this founding convention?
Yes.
Do you remember their names?
Yes. Well, let me tell you. When we went there, and Caesar presented what we were about, the eagle, we had a piece of paper, and the name, and the dues, it has that approved. And then we had an election. And the election, I'm going to give you the names of the people who got elected.
Okay.
The president of the convention, the president of the NFWA, his name was Jesus Martinez. And he was from Pinedale, which is a little town north of Fresno. The secretary treasurer was Antonio Rendine from Hanford. Those are the two elected people. Caesar was elected director general, Caesar Chavez from Delaney. Mm-hmm. Now we have the other ones that were elected and appointed were like representatives from areas. And from Modesto was Juan Torres. From Stockton was Amancio Almeida. From Los Banos was Emeterio Miranda. From Madera was Francisco Zavala. From Tulare was Margarito Salcido. From Delano was Frank Ortiz. And from Hanford was Gilbert Flores. These are the people that were elected as representatives.
For the different areas, huh?
Right. We didn't put like a board. Like I mentioned earlier, that we didn't want a board.
Uh-huh.
That we wanted just like representatives. But we needed, because of state, because of laws and whatever, we had already... I registered the National Farm Workers Association. We had to have names when we registered the association. So these are the names. And these names remain not very long. Like Jesus, let me tell you something funny. Jesus Martinez was an older man, and he got up and made this tremendous speech about the heroes of labor, and I mean he got riled up and he got elected. And I nominated Tony Rendine because for selfish reasons, because I wanted Rachel, his wife, to work with me, because she used to work with me in the service center and the community service organization. And he's always complaining and bitching, so we got him elected so he could stay. And Caesar didn't want to be like the president. He wanted to be the director general. That's what he called himself. That was the founding convention.
I see.
And then we started charging dues.
Mm-hmm.
Charging dues.
And the dues were $3.50 a month.
$3.50.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And that
and people
includes,
were paying them.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many people ended up in the National Farm Workers Association paying dues, do you think?
Well, we had about 1,000, maybe I think 1,200 or 1,100 members, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of these people, like I mentioned, Jesus Martinez, we never saw him again. And some of those people that I mentioned never showed up anymore. We lost them, except for Frank and Gilbert. And I think Zavala from Madera. The rest of them kind of disappeared. And we remained that way. Then we started doing a service center. By that time, this was in 62, by January, I think, of 63, Richard Chavez, Caesar's brother, fixed that little office we had on the Albany Street in Delano.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we had an office then. Prior to that, everybody had his office in his trunk of his car. Then the next thing that was developed, besides the membership, and we did a lot of membership, and then after we got 300 members, we got the insurance. And then we developed a little bit of the service center was always, we did that a lot.
Well, what did the service center do?
The service center was helping people with their driver's license, with their insurances, with their workman's comp, with interpreting, with letter writing, whatever problem they had, we did. And we were good at that because that's what we did in CSO.
So
community service, yes, we did a lot of server work. So we knew how to do all that stuff. Shipping bodies to Mexico, fixing immigration status. It was all social service work, like interpreting, taking them to court, helping them with their personal problems.
Now, but did they have to be, in order to receive these services, did they have to be a dues-paying member?
Definitely. That's one of the rules we started since I first started. That's one of my rules, one of mine. Is they have to be a member. If they're not a member, no services. And it worked because when they came to see me about a welfare problem, and I asked them, are you a member? And they said, no, well, go become a member, and then I'll serve you. I can't serve you unless you're a member. I can't help you unless you're a member. We have an organization now. That's a rule. And we never helped anybody that didn't pay.
So by 1963, you had the service center going in Delano, right?
Right.
Or were there many service centers?
I had one in Hanford. There were service centers, but not from the Farm Worker Service Center, but from the CSO's, Community Service Organization Service Center, there was others like in Bakersfield and in Visalia that we used to refer the workers to. But not from the National Farm Workers Association, we didn't have a service center, except in Delano, and except in Hanford, we had one.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Because here, Julio was like full-time, and then Neo Chavez came for about two months to help, and then Mayo disappeared.
Let's say in 1963, 1964, who were the key, more or less full-time volunteers for the National Farm Workers Association? There was Julio Hernandez?
Julio, Roger Terrones, Camacho from Kettleman City, Raimundo Camacho from Kettleman City. We had Gilbert Flores was doing that in Hanford, and Tony. And in Madera was Zavala.
What about Crescencio? Was he involved?
Is he in Mendoza?
Yeah.
No, not there. Uh-huh. Not yet. No.
Okay.
They got involved later.
And what about...
At the beginning, like 1963, what we did was just doing service centers and picking up members.
Uh-huh.
And then we developed a little co-op and then the credit union.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And now, what role did Dolores Huerta have, or did she have a role?
Well, not then, but she was in Stockton, and in 62, She stayed there working for CSO, and I think in 63 she went to the LA office to work for the CSO. When Caesar left a vacuum there, and then Dolores went up to the LA CSO office for I don't know how period of time. But she stayed up in the north. Dolores didn't come to join and work at the full time until the summer of 64.
Mm-hmm.
And her job was to be the office manager, because then we developed a lot of membership and the service center. And we needed, and then Caesar was developing the Mercurial, a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
And she came, but it's the summer of 64.
I see.
And that's how I got started. That's all we did from those. Well, we did a lot of little things to raise money. I mean, I in Hanford I used to do dances to raise funds for the NFWA. Other people did little things. We did barbecues in parks throughout the state, like. We did barbecues, and we gathered people, and we did a little music, and we made memberships to raise funds.
Mm-hmm.
So because Caesar wasn't working, and I was working, Julio wasn't. Gil Flores was part-time worker, and part-time were helping. Roger, those were the strongest guys, because we were there, right? So we had communications with them. We didn't have very much going on in Salinas or Imperial or anyplace else at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had strong was right in the valley.
Now, the National Farm Workers Association, the NFWA, you did not market yourself as a union, or did you?
No. We market ourselves out as an association.
Okay.
Asociación de Trabajadores Campesinos.
And why did you not market yourself as a union?
Because the union had a bad taste in the AWOC was going on strong at the time.
Okay.
And the AWOC were doing strikes in Stockton. They were doing strikes in Imperial Valley. And we didn't want the workers to think we were going to get them into unions and stuff. So although the objective is to build a union. We were not into striking or anything. We were just trying. We were just organizing.
You were trying to build an organization.
Building up an organization. We went a membership, and we built a credit union. The only times that we really had meetings is when Caesar wrote the Constitution. He wrote the Constitution and the preamble and all that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we had meetings, you know, to approve it. I think Dolores came to that one, but that was back in the late, early, I don't know if she came for that one. But he did that. Caesar wrote all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the only time. And then the only time we started having meetings was when we had the credit union. And we had them once a month.
You had a credit union meeting in Delano once a month, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that was back...
Who was in charge of the credit union?
Well, Caesar was.
I see.
And then later on, Helen did most of the work on the credit union.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think he was the president of the credit union. I was just one of the board members.
Uh-huh.
But it was Julio and Roger and Tony and I and some of the workers there around Wasco. I forgot his name, Zapata, and then there was a couple of more guys. And then they would leave.
Did the credit union have many members in the credit union?
Not at the beginning. We didn't have any money. And so I called, we had to have some kind of a collateral there, and I think Caesar borrowed money from Richard's house to put it in there so we could have money to lend. It took a while before it hit. And then we were very inexperienced on that, too. And we were still in loans to everybody, and we had a hell of a time collecting. So we had a hard time with that. We had a hard time with the co-op too, you know. But later on, we felt that they don't work.
Well,
so we stayed like that.
Okay.
And we stayed like that all 63 and 64. 64, by 64, Dolores came. And by 65, we have a lot of more activity. We had, in April of 65, we had our first little, like a little strike in the Roses.
Well, tell me about that.
I happened to be in Delano for a couple of days there helping, I was in Porterville. I was looking for the migrant ministry then, and I come to Delano to bring membership, and Camacho, Stefano Camacho was in the office. Sorry to see this. He's a call. He says, "Call him and listen to this guy." And Camacho was talking about grafting the roses, and they were Porterville's dissatisfied because to graft them, it's a very tedious little job. You have to cut the skin off the rose, and then put the other little part in there, and then tie it up with a little rubber. And the grower would only pay him for the roses that took. Is a rose intake, they wouldn't get paid. So he wanted a strike. So I said, "Let's go." And people got involved in that little strike with Jim Drake, Hartmeyer.
So when you say Hartmeyer, you're talking about Chris Hartmeyer.
Chris Hartmeyer from the Migrant Ministry, Jim Drake from the Migrant Ministry. Ed Eschner, Ed, what was his name? Bill Escher, who was doing the Montreal.
Oh, Bill Escher,
and I,
yeah.
And Caesar, Dolores, Caesar Charles, Dolores, and I. What we did with that strike, so we had no money, and the workers wanted a strike, so we took him to the church, and we made him swear they're not going to break the strike. Jim Drake's idea was to pass the crucifix from one to another and say, "I will not break the strike." And then we struck, and we didn't go picket. It was like a silent strike.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody showed up in the fields. Nobody. And not even us. And we stayed there, three or four days, I think it was, silent. Nobody showed up. And, one person came from Arizona, showed up. We went on and got him out. And in the mornings, we get up and we go. We knew where the ones that were weak. And we go over there, see the light on. We park our car in front of their cars. And then one night, we were at the trailer, and the workers came over. Oh, remember, I don't know, in back of the office, there was a little half a trailer where Bill Edge used to live?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And we were there talking, and the workers came over, and they knocked on the door, and I went up, and I told Caesar, "By the way, don't go out. And Caesar went out. And when he came back, he said, the grower came, offered them everything they wanted, give them more than they wanted, so they want to go back to work. I said, "Don't do it, man." Well, he did. Well, what happened in that little strike, we didn't have, we were an association, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember Chris Hartmeyer calling the employers of the roses, I think back in Iowa or in Idaho someplace. Caesar sent Dolores over to their office in McFarland. They won't let her in. They didn't, you know, who in the hell are these people? So they were scared, you know, like who? This is not a union, you know. So Caesar let them go back.
Mm-hmm.
And they went back to work.
Mm-hmm.
That was Camacho's.
So they won the strike by getting more wages and.
Oh yeah, they got more than what they were asking.
I see.
But they didn't get a contract.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But they won.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the only strike I was where we didn't have no pickets or. Everybody stayed home.
Do you remember the name of the company?
I'm thinking, name of the company.
Was it Martin? Was it Martin?
No. It was Magdaleno and Schafter.
Uh-huh.
Wasco and Schafter.
Okay. So that was in the springtime then?
Yeah, that was in April of 65.
Of 65, okay.
Yeah.
And then, were there any more strikes after the Roses?
Well, in April we had that strike with the Roses. I'm trying to think of the name of the Roses. And then, of course, you know, I had gone to Porterville to help Jim Drake with the migrant issue of that farm worker union, farm worker organization in Porterville. And we had in May, we had a rent strike in Woodville, in Tulare County. That was one of the, I think, only rent strikes in the state, the labor camp strikes. And we won.
What? When you say a rent strike, you're talking about a farm labor camp?
Farm labor. It was a farm labor camp in Woodville. It was a farm labor camp built in 1937 during the Dust Bowl.
Uh-huh.
It was built temporarily for 10 years with tin shacks. And when I got to Porterville to work with Jim, he took me to the camp, and I said, this camp, we got to do something about this camp. It was made out of tin and hot. And most of the workers used to put big rags and half mattresses on top and put water on them to cool down their houses. And then they raised the rent, and then we went on a strike. But it was a labor camp. We had a march there. There was a fellow from Bakersfield named Brother Gilbert marched on that one. Remember him?
Yes, I remember Brother Gilbert. Yes.
So he marched. It was funny because a picture of him and John Sodia. But I put a little humor on this. Look.
John, yeah, Soria was a huge man.
He was a huge. You and him were marching together.
Yeah, I know.
And that was a first rent strike. And you said that day we won that. I mean, they build houses, beautiful houses now. The other strike we had there before the 65 strike, before the great strike, was a J.D. Martin strike. And the ones that struck there were mostly the ones that were on strike in the labor camp. Half of them were from Woodville in the labor camp, the other half were from Early Mart. And most of those Early Mart workers were members of the NSWA.
I see. Now this was what crops was this?
This was the grapes. We were it was in August.
In August, huh?
It was they were taking the leaves off of the vines to uniform the grapes.
Uh-huh.
And there was a big fight. The workers were mad because the supervisors separated the women and the men. So the men were mad. And then there was no toilet, so the supervisor there was, what do you call these, maniacos, such maniac, would
uh-huh.
follow the women when they went to relieve themselves, and they were mad, and so they struck, everybody went out, even that maniaco came out, because the women went out there and got him out. We had that strike going. And that lasted, and we didn't win that one.
You say you did not win that one?
Huh?
You did not win
that one? No, we didn't win that one.
Uh-huh.
Because we had the rent strike, and then, of course, that was in August, and then in September, Larry Guillaume pulls out the Filipinos out of the strike, and
that was
then
when the agricultural workers of agricultural workers organizing committee. They went out on strike, and that was in what was that September of
September the 8th of 65. And then we went out later.
Then when you say we, you're talking about?
Well, the National Farm Workers Association.
I see.
I remember when that strike happened, Cesar Cabos in Porterville, and I came down, went to the Filipino Hall, and to see what was happening. The Filipino was full of people. And that, for the first time in my life, to my amazement, I was sitting in the front trying to figure out what was happening. And they had interpreters up there in the front for the Filipinos. And then I asked, what's going on with this? Well, the different languages, Tagalog and Ilocano and the Apatzingan and the other languages. Never knew that, but they had different languages. They didn't understand each other. And then Bill Escher and I went out to see Larry Leong. We offer our support and help, paper, and we leaflet, and we do whatever we can. And then we met. Remember, we didn't have any officers or anybody, right? We never had elections after the 62. So we got together, and the ones that were was Tony Orendain, Gil Flores, Roger Terrones, Julio Hernandez. Those were the first ones who came down with their families to join the strike, outside of Delano people. And the rest is history, you know, that we went out. Well, some of the things that happens there, that I like to put it on in proper perspective, is that we had decided to have a meeting. And we usually had the meetings on when we're having the constitutional and had things. We had it at the church, at the Guadalupe Church. And I went out to, I think it's Father Allegard, and asked him, go ahead. And then we put it on the radio, we're having this meeting, right? Father Allegard. Father came down to the office so scared, telling him not to have a meeting there because the growers were calling him. And I said, no, we're going to have it there whether we like it or not. It's too late to change it. We can't change it. And he was upset. Well, we had a full house. I mean, the church was packed with people.
When you say a full house, are you talking about several hundred or?
No, more than that. I mean, the church held more than 500 or so, 600. I mean, you had hundreds of them. I mean, it was full. Some of the AWOC people, the Agriculture Organizing Committee people came too. To see what was happening. And I remember this because we had a little conjunto playing music, and I'm conducting the meeting, I'm talking, because, you know, and everybody thought I was Caesar, because even Eliseo Medina now said, you know, when you went up to that meeting, because Eliseo Medina was at that meeting, he says, I thought you were Caesar, because, you know. And then we had a lot of the members that were on the road strike, where they were there. So we recognized that Camacho brought. Camacho was there, and Camacho came in and spoke about strikes and all. And then I introduced Caesar, and Caesar talked to him, and kind of played music. We didn't take a strike vote. He didn't want to take a strike vote. He told him, well, think about it, and then we'll meet, I think, that two, 3 days later, I think we met. We met at the American Legion there in Delano. And there's where we took a strike vote, and there's where we took the pickets, and that's where we went on strike.
I see. And that's how the National Farm Workers Association got involved with the Delano grape strike.
Right.
And then And then, of course, in 1966, the two organizations merged together and became the United Farm Workers of America, AFL-CIO.
Right. Go back a little bit. Let me go back a little bit because well, we're on strike. We went on strike on ranches that our members were, like Shanley, like in Pararulo, like in Lucas, like in what's the other one? Carrick, where all the Chicanos were from early March, and from McFarland and Richgrove. A lot of those were members. And a lot of members then. Go ahead.
We pick
ranches that our membership was involved with, and then we joined the Filipinos.
I see.
And then they joined us too.
Because, well, I presume the Filipinos, the Agriculture Workers Organizing Committee, they had certain ranches that they had strong membership in too.
Yeah, very strong. Because of course they lived in those labor camps. And they got kicked out. So they were on the street.
I see. Okay. Because they went out on strike.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so then that would have been 1966. By the end of 1966, the two organizations merged and became the United Farm Workers of America, AFL-CIO.
Right. Then at that point, when we merged and we negotiated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the Agricultural Organizing Committee was a committee of the FFL-CIO that was run by Bill Kircher. Remember Bill Kircher?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was the director of that. Bill Green, Al Green was just the in charge of it, but it was actually Bill Kircher.
Right.
All right.
Now, who were the officers for the new organization, United Farm Workers of America?
Then when we became officers was Cesar, I, Dolores, Julio, and Roger.
So Cesar Chavez became the...
Me, Gilbert Padilla, Dolores Huerta, Julio Hernandez, and Roger Terrones.
Mm-hmm.
Those became the officers.
Now, what about for the Filipinos?
For the Filipinos was... No, to tell you how it worked. We became an organization, right?
Right.
We were not just a committee, as per se, but we had a board, right? Unlike the Agricultural Organizing Committee, who didn't have a board, we did, right?
I see. Okay.
That board was right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we went in with that board of officers. That's where we became vice presidents.
Right? Mm-hmm.
Then we said we were vice presidents. The ones I mentioned, right? Then from the Filipinos, in order to put them on the committee, Larry Lombi became the assistant director to Cesar.
Uh-huh.
And then we brought in Philip Veracruz.
Mm-hmm.
And Andy Mutan.
Mm-hmm.
They came in.
And
formed the United Farm Workers Organizing Committee of the FFL-CIO.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why we were a board. So we met as a board. We met not as a committee, but as a board. Mm-hmm. With status of being vice president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I have one other question before we wrap up the interview, Gilbert, and that is, how did the California Migrant Ministry become involved in the strike of the farm workers, or in the farm worker movement? Can you tell me who those key players were?
Well, when Chris Hartmeyer came here and took over Steele, I think his name was. Steve Steele. When he took over, when Chris Amire came in 1961, he came to meet with Caesar, even before Caesar came to meet with the community service organization. And I recall when I was in Stockton, in San Joaquin County, Chris Hartmeyer came stayed with me a couple of weeks when he first came to California. So, and in conventions, when we had came to spend 2 weeks with me working there, watching what I was doing there in the community, working with the braceros and the migrants and all that sort of mess that was at that time. He used to come to our conventions. And when we came back into the NFWA, Chris Hamar has always been interested in it, always.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't recall if he was there at the convention or not. I can't remember that, but he was very close to with us. And January 1965, Jim Drake and Reverend Drake and Reverend Havens and had gone to some organizing school or something. They came down to Tulare County, and they organized, Jim Drake and David Heron organized the farm workers organizing, farm workers organization in Porterville. And they developed an organization. They had a committee, like a board. They had a president, secretary, and all that. And they were always involved in that. Chris Meyer's always been involved. And when they hired me specifically to work with farm workers.
I see.
That was my job when I went to work with them in 65, was to work with farm labor. And that organization that Jim Dake had there, I was insisting that we should move it into Delano, not to have that one. At that time, we had the AWOC, well, the Agriculture Organizing Committee. We had the organizing in Porterville and then in NSWA here. So I remember talking to Jim one morning, and he says, "What do we do?" I said, "Let's move it over there. Let's move this membership over. We don't need two of them. Let's move them over there." So I talked to the board, to the committee, and I moved them over there. I took all their membership and all their money and took it to Delano.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So Chris Hartmeyer has always been very much interested in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Jim Drake.
And Jim Drake and David Havens.
David Havens.
And Phil Farnham.
Phil Farnham. But he didn't stay long.
No.
He worked. Phil Farnham worked up in Goshen, a little town south of Visalia.
And I think
he kind of stayed away, but he did come. But he didn't stay long. Not Dave Havens either, but the one that stayed was Chris Hartmeyer and Jim Drake.
Right, and Dale Van Pelt was there.
Right.
And then Jean Boutillier came.
Jean Boutillier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the migrant ministry people came. Then the migrant ministry hired a lot of people like Paul Espinosa, Mick Jones.
Well, that became part of the what they called the priest-worker movement.
They were supervised by the migrant ministry.
Yes.
I want to say something about Drake. I consider Jim Drake one of the smartest guys and dedicated people I've ever known.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really have a lot of respect for him. I made his life miserable there in Porterville.
You made his life miserable?
He didn't want to strike, and I wanted to strike. I wanted to fight, and well, he had a lot of connections in with the churches, and he gave money from the churches. But I know I had him nervous a lot of times. But,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you. I think that Jim Drake was one of the pillars of the farm worker movement in the very early days.
Oh yes, no question.
Of the strike, and also. He is the one that conceived the idea of a consumer boycott.
Yeah, he's the one that talked about the boycott. He's the one that brought it up.
That's right. That's right.
He did a lot of stuff that the boycotts. He did a lot of innovating. He was very smart because he used to go in a very short time. He would go there and research and come out with all kinds of things. I really love that man. I mean, he was very smart. I mean, and very modest too.
Very modest, but very, very dedicated. He was a wonderful person, and I agree with you. I admire his work very much.
I did.
And I think he passed away much too early, you know.
No, I chased him. I went to see him in Mississippi when he was working in Mississippi. I went up there and stayed with him a week.
Mm-hmm.
And he was doing the same thing he did in Porterville. He's getting people organized in a very subtle way, but he gets them organized.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, Gilbert, I want to thank you for this interview.
I hope I did what I should have done. I'm trying to remember that.
Well, what?
The rose. I can't remember. Maybe I'll remember and I'll call you.
That's all right. What I really wanted to do was to get more background about the founding of the NFWA in 1962, and then you brought us up to date to when the Delano Grape Strike started in September of 1965. So thank you very much, Gilbert, and I will talk to you later. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.